You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Welcome to The Dice Men Cometh, which is Australia's leading radio show and podcast that is currently, right now, dedicated to all things gastronomical.
What?
So after numerous requests, I present to you 3 cups of plain flour, 4.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of full cream, 1 cup of lemonade, 2 to 3 tablespoons of milk. Put it all in a bowl, mix it all up, put it in an oven, and you will get Thunderscones.
Thunderscones.
What about the passion fruit icing, Garth?
1/3 cup blood orange juice and zest. 1/3 cup fresh passion fruit pulp. 1 cup of caster sugar. 150 grams of unsalted butter at room temperature. 1/8 teaspoon of salt. And 4 eggs in brackets. You may choose to use 2 eggs, 2 yolks of which will just give you a brighter colour. And that is how you make the passion fruit and blood orange curd to accompany your thunderscones. Welcome to The Dice Men Cometh. For those of you who are just listening for the first time, go back and listen to last week's episode, otherwise it may not make sense. I'm Garth.
I'm Mark.
I am Leon, and I am salivating over here.
Yes, we are The Dice Men Cometh. We do want to thank Area 52. It is episode 209.
Wow.
On the 19th of April, and tonight we have got, I should say, a jam-packed show to continue the gastronomic flavourings, but we are talking about a couple of different games. Mark, you are going to give us all that delicious Kickstarter news?
Absolutely, and all that and more.
All that and more. And Leon?
Yes.
Are you going to round out with a delicious dessert of a little what you've been playing this week? Time permitting, of course.
I am absolutely going to consider it, but I'm now more thinking about all the thunderscones people are going to be bringing us to Bordercon this
year. There you go. So we've got an entree of what we've been playing. We've got a main of Kickstarter. And then if our bellies are not full, possibly a dessert of a mini what we've been playing. So thanks, Area 52, for allowing us to prattle on like this. Thanks, Edge Radio. Mark, do you want to throw to a song? And then we'll come back with the entree.
And if you're not listening to The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, you better refresh that page and come to our page, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Instagram page, or get on the same page as us now, where we have been listening to the Pits playing Shouting in Caps. And thank you so much to our sponsor, Area 52, for all the support they give us. They sell all the board games, the card games, the video, no, not video games, the anime slash manga.
And before I came in tonight, guess what they sold me?
Oh, what?
Another Dungeons & Dragons book.
Yes.
And they also stocked me up with some Dr. Pepper because my local store isn't getting any at the moment.
Oh, so lovely.
So that was good. However, before we actually throw to proper business, you might notice that I have a special bag with me this evening.
Oh, a shopping bag.
And there's a reason for that, lads.
What's in your bag, baby?
Hey!
You also brought some thunderscones.
I brought some thunderscones into the studio. And some paper towel because I'm a grown-up now, and that's what you do when you hand out treats. So we won't eat them now because that would be terribly unprofessional, but during the break, we're going to crack into some thunderscones.
Oh, I'm going to take a photo and post it on the Facebook page, I think.
Right. Oh, anyway. It's good that we both did some actual preparation for this show, Leon. That's amazing.
Garth,
yeah, stop waving this? That blank bit of paper around, Mark.
Anyway, Garth, speaking of preparation.
Yes.
You're prepared.
I am.
To tell us all about a game, what we all three have played, all three separately, which would have to be maybe the first time ever.
It's pretty amazing. So, not very regularly, if ever, has that happened before. And I only really realised it about half an hour ago that all of us have played this particular game, but none of us have played it together.
Yep.
And it's probably going to be a situation where we'll never, ever, ever play it together.
Because I believe it was suggested that you play it with somebody that you love, or at very least like. So I played it with my pretty wife.
Yeah. Well, maybe if we play it again, we'll find out if we do love each other, because we are indeed talking about Fog of Love.
Ooh.
Fog of Love by Jacob Jaskov or Jakub Yaskov, depending on your pronunciation.
I wonder how Princess Mary says it.
She probably says, hello, Jakub.
Hello, Jakub.
So Jakub/Yaskov works in behaviour design. So he is an incredibly geeky, nerdy geek full of nerdery.
Mm.
However, the stimulus for this particular game came from the fact that he loves his wife, but she's not a geek. I'm sure there's a lot of us who can relate to that. And he could never, ever, ever convince her to play a game because there was nothing thematically that interested her. So he looked at the movie collections and they would always be able to find a movie or a something or other that would at least combine romance and humour or something and something that would appeal to both of them.
Basically, you pick up a DVD cover that is white with pink on the side. That's, you find one of them, often you find them in supermarkets.
Yep.
And then
in
that,
the discount bin.
Yep.
All right.
That's the way, if you want to find a romantic comedy, just look in the video store, find a white case with pink writing. There you are.
Well, what Jakub/Yaskov decided to do was not go to the bargain basement IKEA or whatever it happens to be, but he decided to research and develop a game called Fog of Love, designed by Hush Hush Productions, which admittedly has made one game, which is this one, and it's his production company.
Well, they do like to keep things...
Yeah, well done.
on the down low?
Yes, that's the one. That's what I was looking for.
So Fog of Love, for those who don't know, it is a game explicitly for two players. You will create and you will play two vivid characters who do meet, who fall in love, and then face the challenges that go along with that, and then try and make that relationship work. Now, I can guarantee everyone listening that when you open this box, you will fall in love. Because the game starts with everyone having pretty much at least established love or connection in some regard. But it's up to the two of you playing how that's going to actually play out and evolve during the course of the game. Now, the game itself only goes for... Look, it says 1 to 2 hours. I would say probably closer to 60 to 90 for most of the scenarios. Now, it does come with a tutorial, which we're definitely going to talk about, and then, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, 4 different actual sort of scenarios that you can play. Is that
right? Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think it's 3 others plus the tutorial, because the tutorial, you can play it again as that scenario without the tutorial cards in there.
Yes.
And then there's 3 others that come in lovely little sealed packs, like
a booster
like
pack.
A magic booster pack or something. And apparently, because there's promos about them in the box, there's, I think, at least another 4 stories that are coming. And I'd probably say, Garth, with the later stories, they do go a little bit longer. I think the 4th one actually has 4 chapters instead of 3.
Yes, yes. So, Fog of Love is a game that it's hard to actually analyse and talk about apart from really going on that kind of adventure, because the way the game is going to start is you're going to create these two lovers. Or are they? Well, you're going to start by choosing your gender, and you can have boy-girl, you can have boy-boy, you can have girl-girl. Who knows down the track what's going to be optional in some of the expansion packs, one of them called Paranormal Love. You're then going to choose some of your traits. So I've decided I'm going to play a guy tonight. You will then select 5 traits from this very, very thick trait deck. You pick them up and you're just going to choose 3 out of those 5. And they might be things like piercing eyes.
No, no.
Sorry, no, that's features.
Yeah, yeah, you're going
they might be
organized.
Organized, curious.
Yeah.
Very sort of personal. Who are you? Who am I at my deepest core? What keeps me going?
Yeah, messy, cocky, wasteful, you know, spiteful, could be lots of things.
He's a bit harsh, Mark. He's right there. He's doing his best.
He's not talking about me. He's talking about the character I'm creating.
So you'll draw 5. And
you
then
will
you
draw. You'll draw 5. You'll keep 3. You'll throw the rest away because who cares about the rest of those? You've created who you are. What are you then going to do is you're going to select a couple of features that drew you to your partner. And this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
You'll also choose your occupation, which might be fireman or celebrity or internet, I don't know, memer or something like that. And that's important as well. But the more important thing is you're going to choose, why am I immediately drawn to the opposite player who's sitting against me, I guess, on the other side of the table? And that might be They were short. They were muscular. They had piercing eyes. They had smelly armpits. They had any combination of things, because all of those make up probably the thickest deck in the whole of this game.
Yes.
The features that you were attracted to is enormous, which leads to heaps and heaps of replayability straight out of the box.
And it's also, when you're creating these characters, it's a bit of fun as well. Like my wife, when she was making her character, two of the traits that she got was that she liked, I believe it was short men that had beards.
Yes.
Which I am neither of those two things.
No.
And they're two things that she doesn't like in a man.
But that's the fun of it. And that's where the game...
Because you are role-playing.
And it makes it so explicitly clear in several parts of this rule book that you are not playing... Mark.
No.
You are not playing Leon.
You could play Mark if you wanted to.
I could play Mark, but I have no desire to.
No.
And that's the fun of it. It does require a couple or two players to actually get out of themselves and start playing these two fictional characters that you are both creating together, which is really, really awesome. You're going to set up yourself. You'll then introduce yourself and you'll come up with a name. And you can be as creative or as boring as you want. I was Raymond the teacher. And he was awesome. He had piercing eyes. For some reason, he had jiggling legs. I don't even know what that is.
I think I was I was an advertising consultant, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Mark, who are you?
Oh, gee, I've been a number of things.
Yeah, I bet.
But I was a security guard. I was an advertising executive. I can't even remember the other ones. But I have, must admit, my partner, Sarah, and I had a lot of fun creating those characters.
And the thing is, it's about just going that little bit over what you would otherwise do as a person. You've got to live life a little bit larger in this game, because that's where the fun of it becomes, is that you get to role play, as you said, Leon.
It's a fun way to start the game as well.
Yeah, so after you've done that, you're going to have a little bit of a baseline setup, because there are six different characteristics that are going to be tracked during the course of the game. Now, I don't know, is it fair to say that this is a game that you can win or lose? It's more about the journey, and the designer, Jacob, makes it very clear that it's about this journey that you're about to take together. The ultimate win-lose conditions will vary depending on the scenario, but I guess at their baseline it'll be, do you end up together or do you break up?
Yeah, there are a number of destinies.
Exactly.
And whilst the criteria are, you know, tweaked here and there around... your happiness points and your characteristics and things, mostly it's did you stay together or did you not stay together?
Exactly. At the baseline, when you get to the finale, that will be the end result. Now, as you mentioned, there's a whole bunch of characteristics, but the way the games are primarily going to work is you're going to play through scenes. Now, the scenes will go in various lengths, and they will be really just a back and forth from these amazing decks of cards that you will get. You've got the sweet deck. You've got the serious deck, and you've got the drama deck.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you've then got this, at the start of the game, this blank spot that is, I think, called custom. And that's where there might be another deck somewhere down the path. Who knows? Mm. But those cards, and there is a crap ton of them, will have a whole combination of scenes and secrets and reactions. And there's something else I'm missing, and I'll get back to it. But basically on your turn, you're just going to start by playing one of those scenes. And it's all public knowledge. You will play a scene that will be an element of your relationship that you are playing out together.
Yeah.
And it might be the scene is I'm having a fight with my in-laws, and the resolution is how does the partner react? Does the partner react in supporting you, or does the partner react in supporting the parents-in-law? And your happiness or satisfaction will go up and down because of that. Now, satisfaction is an amazingly big part of this, because there's a little track that goes round and round and round that triggers your satisfaction in the relationship thematically. But ultimately, it's also made up of these six different characteristics, which are where you're forming the foundation of you as one of the players in there. You're also getting a really good insight into the machine that is this partner of yours and where they are heading towards. Now, the six parts to this are called personality dimensions. You've got discipline, you've got curiosity, you've got extroversion, sensitivity, gentleness and sincerity. And each of those have a plus and a minus side, where you will be placing little tokens to say, yeah, I've done something that increases my level of discipline or it decreases my level of curiosity. And that will ebb and flow as the game progresses. because as you play these scenes, you will make a choice. And sometimes you will make a choice as an individual player. Sometimes you will make a choice together as a couple. And sometimes the choice will be virtually flung upon you. There's nothing you can really do about it, depending on the scene and the cards that are played.
Nice.
Now, the decisions are made, and I guess more importantly when they're made as a collective, they are made by placing face down one of the four beautifully heavy chips that you're going to get, these poker-style chips that just have A, B, C, D on one side. You'll both place them down, reveal them simultaneously. And the goal, well, is the goal to match? Is the goal to have the outcome that I want as my particular character with my own personal traits? Or is my goal to try and match with you, Mark, because I have an understanding of what makes you tick? What do we think? What is the way that we have been playing this game? Because it is at its core a game, but it's also about this relationship.
Yeah, so and for me, obviously, as the person who plays the card, you will see what the various outcomes are and what the various possibilities are. And whether matching is a good thing or a bad thing, you will obviously also see where your partner has been trying to move those six characteristics, which direction.
Yeah.
So as the more you get to know them, the more you get through the game, you'll probably know which sort of decisions they're likely to make. But you still don't know, and there's still that a lovely element of surprise of when you flip the token over and they do the thing that you didn't expect.
So yeah, the kind of issue I had with it was that when I was playing it, I had my character and his characteristics and kind of his hidden goals and what he wanted. He was basically, for lack of a better term, he was not the nicest of fella and he was kind of out for himself.
Yeah, okay.
However, the cards I had all in my hand were all going to help benefit my partner, which was, from a mechanical sense of a game sense and from the relationship that we're role-playing as, neither of which made sense, that I was doing all these things to try and help her because they weren't helping me. It was a tad confusing.
Okay, that's interesting, actually.
Mm. Well, I think that's where one of the game elements comes in, which is once you get into those away from the sweet deck
mm-hmm.
and into the serious and the drama deck, which is sort of towards the – generally in the first act – it says you can only access
sweet. Yeah, look, most of the scenarios are played out over three or four acts. And an act will basically be, or a chapter as they call it, will be at least six cards long.
Yeah.
So each player is probably going to get three turns that they sort of initiate. However, you can play the occasional card out of turn, primarily a reaction, which might adjust your decision making.
There are also cards in there sometimes where you make a player play one of your cards and vice versa. So there's some little twists in there.
Correct.
But it's more about thinking what I was going to say was as you get to that second and third scene and you get into those, I'd call them more interesting decks, you get the possibility to make your partner or yourself change some of those traits because the traits will have goals you're trying to achieve as to, let's say it might be you might need at least five tokens of your own on the positive side of the sincerity track, or at least eight tokens together on the positive area of the sincerity track. Now, you might see automatically your partner starts playing cards which they're putting tokens on the other
side. On the wrong side.
And as you say, Lern, it's sort of like, oh, well, this is going to be a problem.
Mm.
There are those cards in those later scenes where you can get rid of some traits and draw some new ones, or your partner can do that. And I love that, how it messes you with your mind, because it's almost like, my partner thinks they're doing really well. I could really mess them up if I make them throw out one of their traits and take a new random one.
And that's interesting because that creates the drama or the seriousness of which the cards are trying to do. So it actually has very immediate effects that impact not just the one player but the two of you in that game. And that can be a really fascinating switch of power, I guess, in some regards.
Yeah, and you see they look like they're really, really happy with what's happening. I'm clearly not, so I need to find a way either to make them change my traits or me to change my own traits.
Yeah.
And that is a bit more of the gaminess of it, of working out how the game works. Now, I must admit, I found probably only about halfway through the second scenario, so the tutorial, then the second one, did I start to work out how the destinies worked and how I could possibly drive, start driving some of those outcomes to be where I could win, in inverted commas, yeah. where I could fulfill my destiny, because you get more destinies added to the deck the more complex the scenario
gets. So let's just quickly give that shout out about what they are. So destinies are essentially endgame conditions that you are trying to achieve one of. Now, you're going to start the game potentially with four or more destinies, and you can have a look at them, and they'll tell you that you'll fulfill your destiny if your satisfaction is at a certain level and you might have certain characteristics in the certain personality dimensions, and it might rely on your partner having some attributes as well. And if you score that destiny, if you decide to actually choose that one as your end game condition, then you get bonuses, or for lack of a better term, you stay in the relationship or you choose to leave. It's depending on what your destiny is. Yeah. So it's the gamification of this relationship game is the destinies, and you can basically go from turn one, I'm heading towards this particular destiny. And you can aim for that and virtually make all decisions based on that. But the X factor is always going to be what the person on the other side of the board is going to do.
And they can, at times, play a card that the outcome of which is not only will adjust some of the characteristics, but it will say, okay, now you need to discard the perfect love match destiny because you've got a result in this particular outcome that clearly says you're not a perfect love match. So you, all of a sudden, that one you might have thought, oh, I'd really like to achieve that, that one's chucked out.
Yeah, and that's a pretty fascinating mechanic.
Yeah.
But as I said before, I had my destiny was just like, okay, my guy's a douchebag and he wants out of this relationship. But the cards I was playing and the way I was playing was that I was the nicest man in the world.
Well, let's talk about the game you played, which was the tutorial.
Yes.
Now, this game, without a shadow of a doubt, has arguably the best and most accessible tutorial of any board game I have played in recent history. Now, I'm going to get my first criticism out of the way, which is you open this beautiful box. You open it and you look at the rule book and you go, oh, man, this is awesome. My one criticism is the rule book is facing the wrong way because it has the picture of Fog of Love, and on the back of it is where it says, read this first.
All right.
You turn over the bloody rule book, people who pack the rule book in the board, and have the you read this first staring you at the face because you read this first is how it's telling you to play the very first game.
Yeah.
We received this game very generously from the guys at Let's Play Games. So we got the review copy of it. Thank you very much. I opened it up. I unpacked most of the cards. I disassembled it to have a look through it. And then I saw in the very back of the rule book, read this first. And I undid all my good work because this tutorial is amazing. It basically plays through a scenario, which might take probably an hour or so because it is a learning game and that's what a tutorial is. But it guides you through every single aspect of this game from start to finish. It leads you through character creation. It leads you through the traits and the features and your occupations. It leads you through the first whole game, which is a 3-chapter long game, and goes through that finale as well. It is expertly done. Then also for people like Leon who love to play Game and Sell. I'm selling that game. I'm over it. It gives you a very quick and very easy way to pack it up and make it perfectly accessible for the next player, as long as you put the rule book in upside down.
And as long as you've got amazing eyesight, because those numbers are tiny.
They are very, very small. But yeah, the tutorial is very similar to that of in Time Stories as well, which is kind of ironic because the components in this game and the board looks very, very similar.
There is similarity, isn't there?
There is a lot. And yeah, it's very similar. I just thought it was a funny connection.
Yes. Is that
it? Yes,
okay.
I had said about that.
So look, the game itself is relatively rules light, so there's no need to discuss any more of that, but it's more about the journey that you take. Now, this game is probably more polarizing in this particular radio studio than any other game that we've played in a little while.
Close to it.
All right. I'll toss a coin. Mark, you go first.
So I played it first out of the three of us. I played it with my partner, Sarah, and we had so much fun in the first scenario. We were like, tomorrow night we're playing the next one. I think we played, and I said to you, Garth, I'm going to open up these packets. Is that okay? For the expansions. And one of the great things, obviously, was you can reassemble it all. We played four scenarios over about, I'd say less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
We had so much fun with it. It has to be said, we really got into the role-playing aspect.
Don't need to know about that.
Or just in terms of, so I had one character who was a security guard, and his name was Colby, and I talked like that through the whole game.
Oh, that wouldn't have been annoying at all.
That's right. But, you know, like, so we really got into that. We played it up. We had an absolute ball, and we cannot wait for the expansion to come out and play more of this. We loved it so much. Look, we, you know, we've been in a relationship for a while, but I guess also having been in lots of relationships over the last few years, you could say, maybe we had a lot more to draw from in that situation that we could laugh at or whatever, or that remind us of. But, man, this would just about be my favourite game I've played this year.
Which is amazing. Now, before we get to your opinion, Leon, it must be said that this is an adult game. The game says that it is 17 plus. It's important to remember because these are very adult situations that you find yourself in. Yep. There are cards that relate to, you know, and this is one thing that I think the Shut Up and Sit Down guys said in their review, going for the first trip to IKEA as a couple.
Yep.
And people who haven't done that, you're not going to realise the pain and agony that goes along with being dragged to somewhere like IKEA when you hate shopping.
My partner used to work at IKEA.
Yeah, well, I've been to IKEA. I hate it.
Me too.
Now, there are also ones that are a hell of a lot more adult. There are ones where, you know, you might be questioning your own sexuality in the game. Or there might be ones where you're having really serious conversations about really serious stuff that the other partner may not be aware of. Because there's another way you can play a card, which is called a secret, which you're just putting this card face down under the board, and you, from a game point of view, want it to be kept secret because you get more points at the end if you've successfully kept it from your partner.
Oh, but there are secrets also that you want to be revealed.
Yeah, yes, yeah. But it's fascinating. All right, anyway.
But hang on, but you need a certain... I think it's just because you need a certain amount of maturity to play this game in the sense that...
Maybe Mark doesn't.
Just in the sense that it is a game.
Correct.
It
well
is,
done.
No,
very mature.
My point
of you.
Being is it is a game and you are role playing. You are not being you.
Yes.
Whereas teenagers could play this. You play a card when you go, oh, yeah, because my character would do such and such. If your partner, if it gets taken out of context, we remember being teenagers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something can set an argument off for the ridiculous reasons. So I think that's why it's 17 plus as well.
Definitely. All right. Sense. So. Leon, is it your game of the year too?
No, not in the slightest. Now, I do want to clarify, though. When we say it's polarising, I'd say the experience was polarising, not our opinion of the game. That's slightly different. I think the game itself, I mean, the components are brilliant.
They're
10 on 10, I'll give them that. And the game itself, I think, is fine. However, the experience is slightly different in that myself and my wife played it, and we didn't finish the tutorial. Because what I said before, that basically half of the cards that both of us had, we found very counterintuitive to the characters that had been selected and what we were trying to do to achieve our goals, and it just didn't really work out. But also mainly, we just flat out weren't having fun.
Fair enough.
That's what games are generally supposed to be. Unless you really get into like some of them that are a bit more tense, you get into the tension and you can get some reward out of that, and reward is as much fun as anything else. But we just weren't having fun. So we didn't enjoy it in the slightest. However, that being said, it did help me come to the realisation that that's one of the main reasons we probably didn't like it, is that my wife and I, generally, we don't play a lot of two-player games. We don't play a lot of games just the two of us. And this game really helped to make that crystal clear to me that we play board games for the social aspect of it.
Sure.
We love our friends and our family a hell of a lot, and we like having people around, even strangers, everyone around to play these kind of games. That's what we like to do. When it's me and her, we have heaps and heaps of other hobbies that we watch a hell of a lot of television. We'd like to travel the world. We'd like to do lots of stuff. Playing games between the two of us ain't really our thing. And this game made it more clear than it's ever been clear before that we're just not the thing that we find enjoyable to sit down and play a board game together, because that's the thing we do with the people out there that we like to socialise.
I reckon Jacob would be proud to hear that, because he's as a behaviour designer.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great outcome. So for Joe and I, who played this, and again, we've only played the tutorial,
yeah,
we sat down and we played it, Our kids were in the room on their bloody electronics devices because it's school holidays. But we played. She was Madeline, an executive, and I was Raymond, the teacher. But we had a great time, and fantastically, the first thing that Joe said at the conclusion of the game was, I want to play that again.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful. So I'm keeping it. We're going to play it a couple of times more. I'm really looking forward to the expansions because in relationships these days, there's no boundaries for what this game can hold. It can hold polygamy. It can hold, it already does, same sex. It can hold transgender relationships. It's got any kind of expansion, which is going to be amazing. And I love the fact that it is mature. So for me, it goes in that category that This War of Mine goes into, that it's an amazing journey experience that is designed for adults. It's not a game that you want to play with your kids.
Yeah.
So, look, my opinion of it falls somewhere in the middle of your two opinions because I haven't played it enough to form my own.
And it sounds like when you play a couple more, you might sway towards me. Just because there's more variety in those.
Exactly. And initially, the gamer in me chose to play the gamer style, so I'm playing scenes that allow me to make decisions based on what will get me more points.
Yeah.
Focusing with role play as a secondary element. So I'm going to look forward to playing that again. And that's Fog of Love.
Yeah, I still recommend it, even though I had not the best experience, but that's neither here nor there. I could still appreciate the fact that the game has some very interesting ideas about it, that's for sure.
We'll be back shortly with more.
Where the scones?
Yep.
Yum, 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 yum.
Hey, Garth, what's that you're eating?
What do you mean? This is my Anzac biscuits. You know why? It's Anzac Day.
You're eating Anzac biscuits on Anzac Day, Garth. How Australian is that?
Poor blimey. I mean, struth. That's pretty Australian, isn't it?
Crikey cobber, sure is.
Speaking of which...
Yes?
Have you seen that game Gallipoli? Battle Sim?
You mean Battle Sim Gallipoli?
I do.
Yeah, it's on Kickstarter right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That was a good biscuit.
Yeah.
It's not a cookie, is it?
No, it's got golden syrup and stuff.
Ah, do you love those chewy bits?
Oh, well, they're so chewy because the diggers couldn't have eggs and milk in it because it would go off.
That sounds authentic.
Authentic?
Historically. I'm going to talk properly because I haven't got any more biscuit in my mouth yet.
Okay.
But we are talking Battle Sim Gallipoli by Gecko Games, which is on Kickstarter at the moment. And not surprisingly, it's all about our Anzacs, who marched into Gallipoli, or sailed into Gallipoli, or crawled into Gallipoli?
Yeah, I think they sailed in and then they went ashore. And then there's a lot of fighting and then they left.
Successfully.
They had a very successful leaving.
That's the main thing. So look, this is a very historically based two-player simulation game where you get to play as either the Anzacs or the Turks. It's designed with an educational bent in mind so that it's great for kids to be able to understand the battle that happened at Gallipoli.
Well, it was the formation of part of our Aussie culture, the never say die, the never give up, but also the larrikin humour.
Exactly.
That we are able to exhibit in difficult times, Garth.
And the biscuits.
And the biscuits. So, look, what more Australian thing that you could do on Anzac Day than going back Battle Sim Gallipoli on Kickstarter?
True.
And there's even a couple more, I don't know, half a dozen of those double pledges where you can get two copies so you could give one to one of your dinky-dye cobbers.
That's pretty spectacular. No free biscuits, though.
Oh, no. Getting quick, though, because the Kickstarter's only running for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Struth.
Poor blimey.
Dinky-dye. Fair dinkum.
That was Ivy Street with Carmel Keeps a Bucket.
Finish the Thunder Scone.
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, where the Dice Men cometh. Proudly brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. They have, like, chocolate and stuff in there as well. It'd go nice on this Thunder Scone.
Yeah, you know, all right. Well, we're not going to tell you where you bought those.
No. Mark, what have you got for us?
Well, Leon, I've got some Kickstarter. And now, firstly...
Oh, hang on.
Oh, what?
Don't I need to play some music?
Oh, yeah, hang on. I remembered my thing.
All right.
Love kick starts again.
Woo! Yeah, we love that Kickstarter.
We love it.
Kickstarts in Australia.
I shouldn't dance like that after eating that scone. A bit of a stitch now.
Thunder stitch.
A couple of quick shout-outs to some successful projects. Judgment Wave 2 with the 54 mil figures. Congrats to Andrew and Jeff Galea. They've raised over 75,000 and funded that perfectly. I think it's, by the time you listen to this podcast, it will have finished, but it's about to finish now. Castles of Calera got up over the line. Looked like it wasn't going to get there, but it ended up about 120-130%. So congrats to those guys as well. Armour Digital Miniatures, that one was funded as well. Now, there's a few Aussies left to go. Of course, we had a couple of promos for the Gallipoli board game.
We have.
That one still has 15 days to go. Now, still a bit of life left in that one. They do need quite a bit more funds. So, look, if you're interested in that game and you loved our ads, jump on and see what you think about that game. A couple more new ones. The Deck of Many Dungeons Tabletop Map Accessories by Rob Cunningham in Sydney. It's $16 or $25 if you want to go for the slightly more glamorous one for a deck of cards.
Grand.
But it's actually dungeon map pieces.
Okay.
So on the side of the cards that would normally have the suits, you've got dungeon map pieces, which are all effectively passageways in dungeons, and you can use them to make maps. So it's probably quite a great idea, but he's looking for quite a bit of money. $11,000.
Okay.
He's raised about $2,000. It's still got 22 days to go, but I just wonder $25 for a deck of cards. I mean, it's a great idea. The $25 ones, they're plastic coated. I don't know. Look, if you're interested in that sort of thing, check out the Deck of Many Dungeons. Another new one, Abducted Cow, the card game.
Okay.
Where you outwit your fellow aliens and amass a herd in this sci-fi card game by Lloyd Miller from Perth. Haven't been able to find out much about it, except that it's a sort of simple take that card game where you're all aliens and you're trying to steal cows from each other. Not sure why, but look, it's
nicely... Because it's a moving experience.
Okay. look, it's very nicely presented. The cards are really lovely art. Actually, the video is one of the better Kickstarter videos I've seen for a long time. But again, it's looking for about $17,000. Might be a bit of a stretch. 28 days to go, it's up to 22%. And for a card game, again, I think it's... I didn't make a note of the price. I think it's up around the sort of the $30 mark for a card game. Might be a little bit higher, but we'll keep an eye on it anyway. One super sweet one. Do you remember the Call of Cthulhu leather document wallets? Do either of you guys remember seeing those?
I do indeed.
Yes.
Oh, so, is this by Type
40 in Melbourne?
Type 40, yeah.
Yep. So they have the Call of Cthulhu leather-bound campaign journals. These are absolutely gorgeous. They've got four different leather-bound journals, so four different designs on the cover. They've also got some interesting little Lovecraftian art pieces at various pages throughout the journals that you sort of surprisingly come across, but apart from that, they're blank. They just unlocked a stretch goal that includes a fountain pen.
Oh, hallelujah.
They've raised over 250% of their goal, which is at the moment it's around about 21,000. If I was a journal person, I'd be buying these. They are absolutely beautiful leather-bound journals.
They look really nice, but the problem is with those kind of things, you buy them and I'd never want to write in it because I'd be too scared. It's just like, it's so nice and I'd be ripping the page out as soon as I put my pen to it.
But I can guarantee if we had got one of these each at the start of our Horror on the Orient Express role-playing game that is now approaching its second year.
Yeah.
Yes. We would all have had a huge amount of scribbles in that one. Now, it also has to be said that Type 40 make board game box inserts.
Yeah.
And they are in Australia. So you can buy, admittedly, I think they've only got seven games that they have inserts for. But you can buy inserts for Roll for the Galaxy and Caverna and a few others that are not crazy prices. and don't have stupid shipping from the other parts of the world.
Well, so this one also, one of the things you get is you get a challenge coin, which is a special coin they've designed. Obviously, you can flip it for various different things. $200 will get you the set of four different journals. Hmm. The artwork on the covers is beautiful. The tooling and the leather just looks so lovely. I've been really tempted by this myself, except I'm like you, Leon. I would be scared to write in them. Hmm. A brand new Australian Kickstarter that's just launched, I mean, earlier today. We didn't even see it until later on tonight. I Am the Fourth Wall.
No, you're not. I'm the Fourth Wall.
By Slinky Gibbon Games in Brisbane. Now, excitingly, we're off to the pub after this game, after this show, to play that game.
We are. I have a copy in my hot little hands. So they were very kind enough to send us a review copy, so that we can play it and talk about it.
It's only been out a few hours. It's already over 50% funded, and there is an early bird special for $32. So it's a sort of a Cthulhu-y themed. In fact, I'm not going to say much about this. We might say more about it after we've played it. Definitely worth a check, though. They've got a good Kickstarter video. Looks like it's well on the way to being funded.
Yeah, but what it does have, which I like, is it's a card game, which has a hell of a lot of content, but you can also play it two ways. You can play one player versus everyone else,
yep.
Or you can play fully cooperative against the game itself. And we'll play it in both ways and we'll have a chat and see what we think.
Yeah, even solo by the look of this. So there's one of those games where there's quite a few different modes you can play. Also, I'm going to call it an Australian Kickstarter,
okay,
because Tanya Walker has done the art.
Yep.
Tom
Longford
is the designer. We met and played this one. We talked about it before. It got taken down off Kickstarter. Now it's back on. That is Village Pillage by Bluebeard or Jelly Bean Games. So it's back up again. And look, I don't know. They took it down when it was just about to fund, put it back up again, and it's like, in the first day, it was like 130% funded.
Yeah, we probably should ask them why they did that, but we've been journalistically lazy and just not.
I think the reality is they just wanted wooden turnip meeples.
They took a lot of feedback.
Yeah,
primarily the wooden turnip counter thingies that you use as money.
Yep.
So they were cardboard there. Now it's not even a stretch goal. You get wooden turnips. They've also reduced the cost, which was one of our biggest complaints.
Yep.
Although with jelly beans still, unfortunately,
yes,
the shipping to Australia is a bit more. It works out to be $43 Australian, including shipping, which is a bit steep for a card game that only has about 30 or 40 cards in it. But, you know, you're paying for that sweet, sweet,
yeah,
Tanya Walker,
but we paid
art.
$8 for that in Lady in the Tiger.
Yeah.
So, look, having played the game, though, it is a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah,
there are
game.
Interesting decisions that you need to make. It has that seven wonders. I'm fighting my players to the immediate left and right of me. I like the game, but I don't like it at $43.
No. Yeah, well, look, I had a lot of fun with it, and I, at this stage, I've backed it.
You have.
You know, it's one of those ones where I may or may not pull out towards the end. We'll see. One other, I'm going to call it a tenuous link to Australia. Miskatonic University.
That's not Australia.
The Restriction Collection board game. So this game is produced by Chaosium, official Call of Cthulhu company. The game design is by Rainer Knizia.
There you go, the Australian designer.
No.
Oh, he's not.
But
okay,
the graphic design, not the art, but the graphic design and layout and everything is done by Ian O'Toole.
Hey, so that's Irish guy.
That's the Australian link. Now, I heard about this game coming, a Cthulhu game from Chaosium, the official Cthulhu people. I was super surprised, firstly, excited, secondly. Then I saw Ian O'Toole was involved. Then I saw it was designed by Rainer Knizia.
Yep.
And I sort of stepped my expectations back a little bit.
Cthulhu done with math.
It's a set collection game.
Math-Cthulhu.
And look, I'd love to hear from listeners what they think, because when I look at it, when I watch the video, when I read about it, it could be any theme. The story is there, but it's not. I don't want to say that it's a pasted-on theme. It looks beautiful. The box is actually looks like a book.
Whoa. I thought it was a book until you literally just said that right then. I thought, it's a book? What are you talking about?
The first stretch goal, which is unlocked, every backer gets a PDF diploma from Miskatonic University in Medieval Studies that you can print out and frame.
Wow.
I just love that.
Yeah.
It's only a 20-day campaign. It got funded in 16 hours. I'm just not sure about the gameplay.
Okay.
But look, I'd love to hear from listeners what they think, because it, there's a lot to like there.
What's the cost on this one? With that kind of pedigree?
25 dollars plus
25 US.
Yeah, $25 US plus shipping is added at the end of the campaign.
Ah, okay, fair
enough. I think it's one of those ones they said it's about $10 to $20 shipping, something like that. So, I mean, it's only going to be a $40-$45 game.
It's about reasonable for what it looks like.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm just not sure about it.
Okay, keep going.
Now, one more that people would have heard a bit more about in last week's show, of course, when they heard our amazing promotion.
Yeah,
Is the Black Void role playing group role playing game?
Yes, they do.
Now, it has had a really great launch. It's almost 80% funded. We're still with 22 days to go. So it's going to get over the line.
Is it ever?
This game has got some awful art. Awful art. It's got some awesome art.
That's right. The ad was last week, wasn't it? This week.
This is what I get for trying to use the computer, read my notes, and look at you guys at the same time.
Are you stereotypically unable to multitask, Mark?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's got some amazing art. It's got some really unique concepts, including Wasta, which you know from our ad. If you've heard it last week.
Otherwise known as clout.
If you're, and you know, and there's PDF and hardcover options. I think the hardcover starting about $50. Still got 22 days to go. This is definitely worth a check out. If you are into role playing at all, there's something quite different about this one. Check it out. Garth.
Yes.
Nothing Personal. That's got an Australian link as well, hasn't it?
Does it ever? Because Dan May from Starling Games, he was lead on the first version of it. Not so much this time. He's an art director or something on the second version.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just had its second and revised edition released on Kickstarter only a couple of days ago, which takes a game that, look, it's fair to say with us, would take 3 hours. They're saying it plays in 60 minutes.
Yeah, I'm struggling to believe that. It used to take us 3 hours.
I'm struggling. Now, this is the game of rival mafia families. You're trying to control the capo. You're trying to influence decisions. You're whacking people off left, right, and center. It has some of the best components, though, in terms of the thickest cardboard money that you have ever seen.
Yeah.
That delicious gold capo ring that you get to wear as first player.
Mm.
Some amazingly cool art. And look, in terms of a game about screwing people over, it's still one of my favourites.
It's one of the Dice Men's go-to favourite games,
correct,
I think.
So, I'm curious about how they can actually get this game from 2 to 3 hours down to 60 minutes. I am concerned they're ripping out the guts of it. I would like to know a little bit more. I've backed the little expansion, which adds some locations to it. Look, the Starling Games, they've got a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth from a lot of backers who've had experiences that have been less than ideal in the past. Part of the reason they changed their names to Starling Games, anecdotally. So
from when it was Game Salute.
Exactly. So, look, it'll fund. It'll be fine. I want to see some gameplay, and I want to see what plays differently. I don't bother wanting to read the rule book.
Yeah.
I just want to see how it plays. I'm curious to see how it plays.
Now, I know I'm almost out of time, but there's a couple I've got to mention. Street Fighter, the minis game by Jasco Games. Now, I've got to mention this because the pre-painted minis in this are absolutely amazing. $80 for the base game, but interestingly, the $80 level doesn't include any stretch goals. Is this a new trend? I've seen a few of these where they have a level that doesn't include stretch goals, and then you go for a more deluxe version and it does include the stretch.
It was a thing that started there for... It was a thing on Kickstarter for a while, and then it stopped because everyone went, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And now it seems to be coming back with a vengeance.
This one is $20 to $30 shipping, but look, if you're a fan of Street Fighter, you've got to check out these minis. They are absolutely amazing. You can get a big deluxe version with, I think, at least 30 minis for about $280.
And it was designed by Angry Joe, who's one of the biggest video gamer YouTubers in the world.
There you
As
go.
In, like, every video is, like, a million hits in the first few minutes.
Yeah, wow.
Look, one more. The City of Kings. Now, I didn't pick up on this when it first came out. It's now got the second version with some expansions. This looks absolutely amazing. Some people are saying this is a Gloomhaven killer, although there's a bit of a divergence between people who like this over Gloomhaven, people who like Gloomhaven over this, but it's a big Euro, perhaps Euro-ish adventure game with lots of bits and pieces. I'd love to hear if anyone out there of our listeners does have the City of Kings, the first version, and what they thought. Garth, for you, tour operator, where you're running your own travel agency. I don't know if you saw it.
I have almost backed it several times. I haven't backed it because I've got a Tim Fowers game, right. All Aboard, coming, which is you running your own airline.
Yeah, Leon, you've got the graphic novel Adventures coming.
Yes, I
do. They look amazing. Indeed. And only $85 for the full set of five. That's only got 5 days to go, so you have to get onto that straight away as soon as you listen to this. Another awesome one in Canada, 40 Thieves, which is like a set of coasters that are tiles in a round coaster-shaped box with beautiful sapphires. It's a fascinating-looking game. Called 40 Thieves. And one more little one, it's called Crypt. It's in the top 10 hot list on Kickstarter. Board Game Geek, it's $9 plus shipping. Amazing little game with 50 cards, 12 dice, and all this for $9. The whole thing to ship to Australia is $21. It looks like an amazing little game, and it's got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands that's made.
Cool.
I could do a whole podcast on Kickstarter, guys, every week and still not cover them all.
Well, you should probably do that in your own time. All right. Well, we don't really have much time to cut to an ad.
No.
Or a break or a song, so we may as well burn through for the few minutes. Now, Leon.
Yes.
Do you want to do a quick power through of your what we've been playing? Or should I give a shout out to another Aussie designer?
I think I'll leave what I've got for another day. There's no point, really.
All right. So, Mark,
You
want to press that tab of yours that I need to look at, because I want to give a little shout out to Hamish Sterling and Pocket Sports Surfing Tour, which is arguably one of the itty-bittiest micro games that you will ever see, because it's made up of 5 dice and a little bag that holds 5 dice. Now, this is the surfing tour. However, the Pocket Sports license, I guess, extends to a whole swathe of different sports. It's got cricket. It's got soccer. It's got hockey. It's got a few others that I can't remember. There
Football,
are probably
GP racing.
Yep, all of those.
Baseball.
Now, this very simply is a push-your-luck light game that is a filler, plays for about 5 and 10 minutes. Now, in terms of the Pocket Sports surfing version, you will start your turn by rolling a red die, which is your wave selection. So you've got 6 different types of wave. You can have, the ba-bow, no wave, you don't get a ride. You can have your smallest waves all the way up to your monster waves. Now,
do you have gnarly dude waves?
Just hold your horses there. So depending on the wave that you roll, it will then entitle you to roll one of the other dice. You'll have the easy dice, the medium dice, the slightly scarier dice, and then the really scary dice. And if you roll a monster wave, you get to roll a really heavy-duty, hardcore, freaky-deaky dice. It'll get you the best scores, because each of the sides of those dice have a score. It might be 0.5 or 2.5 or 3.5 or whatever. But it also, every time you're rolling a die that is increasingly harder, there's a more of a chance you might get a wipeout or a bail. So it's good to have bigger waves because they give you more points. But if you happen to roll a wipeout, do you want to guess what happens, Mark?
You go totally tubular.
No, you are wiped out.
Tubular is a good thing. Wipeout's a bad thing.
Exactly. Is it? You clearly don't surf.
Yeah. I haven't watched any surfing movies since the 80s.
Clearly.
That's a lie. Point Break was early 90s. And so good. How good's Point Break? Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
No.
Okay, fine.
I want to talk and support an Australian
designer.
What
about the new version?
Yeah, that came and gone, didn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so now
We'll be professional.
You roll some dice.
Put my scones away.
Hey, I want a scone before you put them away.
The decision-making
can have them at the pub.
Element is that you get to roll and you get to pull out of the wave whenever you want to. Now, once you get to a certain score, which might be a perfect 10, radical dude, or if you roll the barrel side of an extreme dice, you get to roll his other die, which is your sponsors, and the sponsors are going to give you benefits that will basically not allow you to modify results. But the reason this is a world tour is that one of the games is that you can play all the major surf breaks in the world and form a world tour where you, Leon, or more, maybe impressively, Mark, could become the world surfing champion of the world.
So I'd surf Pipeline, and then where would I surf, Garth?
Well, then you would surf Tekapo.
Ooh.
And you would surf Bell's Beach.
Yeah.
And you would surf
Kingston, and then maybe Lord Howe Island.
Do they have weight categories in surfing?
Well,
just out of curiosity.
Well, you just have to like have five surfboards.
Okay.
Yeah. So look, this is a really cool, fun filler of a game. I played it with my kids. It is seriously the size of five dice in an itty bitty bag. It comes though with these rules on how to play the surf tour. Each destination that you are visiting has certain modifying factors. Each sponsor that you can roll allows you to have a wetsuit or an extra board or avoid the first wipeout and all these kind of things that just add that little bit more theme to it. So for a game that is about $15 on their website and is designed for that, it's like that gift that you give to a dad on Father's Day or this surfy mate that you know. Their most popular one, Hamish was telling me, is the soccer version.
Yeah.
And look, it's the Soccer World Cup that's coming up in the not-too-distant future. Mm. So, look, no doubt sales of that will spike. So I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to that because it is a lot of fun. My kids really liked it. And it's surfing. So we're
Thank you so much, Hamish.
Yes. So that's all. We are over and out. We have got to go and drink some beer, play some games, and eat some thunder scones, haven't we?
Yes, we do.
We're going to play I'm the Fourth Wall and see how that goes.
We are. So I'm Garth. He's Leon. He's also Mark. Collectively, we're the Dice Men Cometh. We always thank Area 52. We are on Edge Radio 99.3, and we are out of here.
Bye.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support the Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.